Kale and Company, weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
Kale and Company, hour number two underway. 7 o'clock hour brought to you by Bucks County Estate Traders. Save on stunning, high-quality furniture during the incredible 4th of July sale. Bucks County Estate Traders, 20 to 50% off select items store-wide. Visit their showroom in Hatfield or BucksCountyEstateTraders.com. The sale starts Monday. Now open extended hours as well as Sunday.
Yeah.
By the way,
I wonder if Bucks County State Traders loves the Bee Gees in the background. Yeah.
Yeah, you're shopping for a dining room table and you hear the Bee Gees.
Nice 70s dining room table. That's what I want to, you know. Platform shoes with the fish in them, you know, like those fish in them.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So far, we are at 88.1% of our $15,000 goal.
I just got some very good news.
Okay.
Woohoo!
Our buddy Road Warrior. You know, he has his own charity, like there, his own company, you know, the independent bike shop.
Yeah, by the way, is he on our team?
Well, I'm going to announce. Can you just wait for a second?
Sure. I'll just dance to the
Bee Gees here. Just dance. Come on.
Dance.
So they're doing their own fundraising. Apparently, our buddy Chris Eppolito was a huge help to that as well. They're going to take the $1,700, almost $1,800 that they have raised, and they're going to combine it with Team 1210.
Woohoo!
Team Kale and Company.
Awesome.
So does that mean we've hit our goal of $15,000?
Well, I believe so, yes. But, okay. but hang on. I don't want this to deter people because
right.
I want to keep the donations coming because there's a low energy music station that I want to be now.
Uh-oh.
So that's my next goal. Thank you to the independent bike shop in Manahawkin, New Jersey, the guys at Independent Bike Shop, where your bike matters. Thank you, Independent Bike Shop, Manahawkin, New Jersey.
Okay,
I'm going to be there next week, doing some rides with Road Warrior. So
next week.
Yeah, a couple days next week.
Cool.
I'll be doing some rides with Road Warrior. So,
prior to that news, we were at 13,216, which means we needed $1,784. I would still like another $1,784, just so I can feel like we kind of did it on our own. Just because 15 is the goal doesn't mean we have to stop there.
1,784 people right now. I'm looking at you, Willow Grove.
Yeah.
I'm just going to start calling out areas.
Yes.
I'm looking at you, Willow Grove.
Yeah.
A big area for 1210 WPHT. Each donated dollar, GregStockerSucks.com, will get our goal. Do it now.
Yes. And also, the families behind the badge want you to vote for them because they are one of four finalists for the Wawa Foundation Hero Award. And by the way, voting ends today at 5 o'clock. So vote now, thewawafoundation.org. TheWawaFoundation.org.
Did they send out the did family send out the videos?
They have the video. They just tweeted a picture of the video of me ranting and raving for 8 seconds. God, I look fat. And it never looks fat until it's you know, I look in the mirror, I don't feel like I've gained a lot of weight, and then I see pictures of me and I'm like, who's that slob?
I don't see it on their
Well, they forgot to put the period in front of my Twitter handle?
No, they're Families Behind the Badge Children's Foundation?
Yeah.
On
the Twitter?
Yeah, you're going to have to. You have to go to the replies. It won't show up in the post because they didn't put the period in front of the at symbol.
They need to, yeah.
That's bad Twitter knowledge.
Yeah, they need to get.
Come on, Jack. Go.
Yeah.
Are you new to this?
I'm going to retweet that.
So the top, their top, if you go to Families Behind the Badge Children's Foundation, FBB Children's.
Yeah.
Then their pinned tweet is where you vote, and it's really easy because it just says vote for your favorite, and there's families.
Yep.
You know, they put the icon, so all you have to do is, you know, do that. Click on it.
Michael in the YouTube chat says, get everybody from Artifacts to donate a dollar. That's right. Artifacts Brewing there on Main Street in, is that York Road? York Road in Hatboro. A lot of listeners there. The owner is a huge fan of this radio station.
Cool.
So yeah, everybody at Artifact donate a dollar.
Bang.
I know you guys can afford it. I've seen that place on a Saturday
got all the intel.
Saturday afternoon, man. It's hopping there.
Soccer's like the human surveillance state.
Artifact Brewing in Hatboro.
All right.
It's a great spot.
So, Greg, his video's nice. It's right there. You have to go under replies. See it?
But Nick's right. He didn't put the dot, so it doesn't. Oh. It shows up. So we retweeted it.
Yeah. Okay, good.
Beautiful. Yeah.
Perfect.
All right. Let's get to the news. Round number two at 7:10, the great Dawn Stensland.
Good morning this Friday, TGIF. Friday morning, the 27th of June, 66 degrees and cloudy and a much cooler day in store. What about the unsettled weekend forecast? Hopefully not a rain out. Nick will have that full forecast for you in just a moment. So in the news, as we look at what's going on in and around our area, let's talk about it. We have so much happening. You know what? Are you doing the CNN story, or excuse me, the CDC new guidelines?
No.
Because we talked about the Philadelphia School District. I'll get to them in a moment, so this is the CDC. This is RFK Jr.'s new panel, if you will, and creating controversy. Many pediatricians very upset about what's going on and what the panel has decided. And so the headlines are that RFK, Kennedy's new vaccine panel has alarmed pediatricians nationwide. Why? Because U.S. Health Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s new vaccine advisors, that board that we've talked about, they announced inquiries into some questions about children's vaccinations, immunizations. And so they are recommending the flu shot for fall, but there's an asterisk by that. And so they opened their first meeting of Kennedy's handpicked 7-member panel we've talked about. And these were appointees, and they put out the list of immunizations that should be given at different times throughout childhood. And so they're now studying the quote unquote cumulative impact. They're going to be evaluating as well how two other immunizations are administered. One that guards against hepatitis B, and the other combines chickenpox protection with the MMR, measles, mumps, rubella vaccine. So looking at all of that.
So they are now saying there's an asterisk next to even the flu shot for children. That's what I gather?
So they want, as far as children go, they are not advising for young children that you get the flu shot, the one with the controversial preservative in it.
Controversial to who, though?
This goes back to that controversy. Mm-hmm. I dealt with this a lot of us have dealt with this when my sons were little.
I can't,
which
tell
is
you
why I opted for the nasal one that you just shoot up their nose, which by the way isn't a shot, so it's easier with little kids.
Well,
that does not have the
spray.
Yeah, there's a spray that they can do for little kids, which is way easier because it's really quick.
I think the last time, I know this is adults versus children, but the last time I got the flu shot, I think was 2018, and I was my first year in Nashville. I got it randomly. I was going into the Publix, and I saw the sign, and it was like Halloween, Thanksgiving, somewhere in that area. And I was like, all right, whatever. But after reading the fact that it's only about 60% effective, which is really remarkable. I know that's adults versus children, but
the effectiveness of it depends on, because they study Australia. Because they're down under, so they look at their flu season, and they're always tracking the opposite side of the world, and that's how it's a guess. It's like a gamble. And they look at what variants they have, and that's probably what we're going to get.
Mm. Just give me all the info, and I'll decide for myself and my family. Thank you.
So, Greg, to your point about this controversy, I'm not sure if they're just trying to restore confidence and say, hey, we're going to look at this preservative that everybody has talked about. Meantime, you can get a flu shot that there is no preservative, but get the flu shot. So are they doing this to restore trust and then have an extensive study and be transparent? I don't have the answer to that.
I think it's a combination of restoring trust or totally dismantling the things that are not scientifically backed to the point where this should be jammed down our throats. Like, in a perfect world, kind of what Stocker said is, give me all of the data. I shouldn't have to go to Australia. I shouldn't have to get a report from a place in London. Yeah, I mean, this is the United freaking States, but we're so compromised by big pharma and profits that, well, yeah, the information might be out there, But boy, they sure don't make it easy for you to find the truth, do they?
By the way, Phil, thank you. He put up the link. So everybody on YouTube, go to the link right now and vote for the Families Behind the Bad Children's Foundation for the Wawa Hero Award. Right?
Yeah, and Rick, yes. Rick just donated $500.
Rick?
Yeah, Rick Franzen.
Rick Whoa. Franzen, my man. Rick. Look at that. Woo-hoo. That is a good. Awesome. That is a patriot right there. That's right. Thank you, buddy.
Awesome, Rick.
Thanks, so, Rick. Philadelphia schools, first in the nation and first school district in the nation in the country to be criminally charged with violations under the Asbestos Hazard Emergency Response Act. And it's also the first use of a DPA case like this against a public school district, according to the U.S. Attorney's Office. So coming down hard, they've been back and forth on this for a five-year period. And these are charges. Now, what they decided and what the school district accepted. So the school district admitted to this, that they were lax, essentially, that they didn't, you know, keep up with this, because you're required to keep up with all of the testing for asbestos. They did say that a part of this was, it was, they blamed COVID. They also blamed the high cost. All the costs have gone up to do this kind of environmental mitigation of it's extremely expensive. With asbestos removal and testing and all of that, they say. So they promise to keep up with it, and so we'll move on from there. But I'm waiting for parents to start reacting to this. I don't have a lot of parental reaction.
It's amazing. 300 out of 339. Yeah. Seriously, how much could this cost to remove asbestos?
It's expensive, and that's in some school districts, suburban. I've talked to people behind the scenes where they even debated whether or not, you know, it's better to just give people vouchers. I mean, this ironically kind of makes the whole school voucher programs more valid.
Oh, for sure.
Because because you have all these buildings, as you pointed out, the vast majority of our buildings are aging and loaded with asbestos. Do you really want your kid going do you want to teach there?
I mean, can't they just reallocate some funding? I always hear about budgets and budget meetings. Why don't you figure out what the cost is and see if you can slide the money from Project A to this? Is it really that difficult? Nobody ever gets anything done.
Yeah, true. And bring back the community schools if they're going to do it. Just repurpose buildings. I would just junk the schools at this point.
I agree.
They don't know what the they're doing.
Exactly. I love that drop, by the way.
Speaking of which... and remember that school kids rely on SEPTA. Philadelphia school kids, middle school kids, and all high school children do not have door-to-door bus service like the rest of the nation and everybody else in Pennsylvania and the suburbs. They ride SEPTA. And the Philadelphia school children basically are the biggest customer of SEPTA.
They would, so with being – now, what was the numbers that you gave us earlier in round one? Is it 45% below what their goal was?
For SEPTA. Yeah, it was, they voted unanimously to pass a 45% service cut.
Right.
But as far as budget, they have a $213 million budget shortfall. So, $213 million.
So if you took away the public school kids, would SEPTA just go out of business?
Pretty much. So that's why they don't have, so in other words, these kids who don't get the door-to-door service, right, that everybody else gets, they keep SEPTA alive.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So we get that going on, which is not nice. Let's talk about it. Well, I will say that the other story that's a big story that was even making news this morning was the sisterhood of women, widows, who showed up in court this week for the Fitzgerald family. And you mentioned off the very tip top at 5:58 a.m., Nick Hale, about the, you know, Sergeant Christopher Fitzgerald, his mom, Pauline, his wife, his widow, Marissa, coming on yesterday and talking about, you know, why they went to court and what they experienced during that guilty verdict for the individual who's going to spend the rest of his life in prison for basically executing Sergeant Fitzgerald. But what a lot of people haven't reported was that there was a real sisterhood in court, widows dating back decades here in Philadelphia. Judy Cassidy, who I talk about all the time, who I've gotten to know, Maureen Faulkner, but all of these different family members coming together. And I think it's an important point to make as you talk about families behind the badge and, you know, the bike ride, which is the nonprofit organization's biggest fundraiser of the year, supporting these children who have to grow up without a parent.
Right. And I love the fact yesterday that you did not mention the murderer's name.
Yeah.
Don't give him the glory.
Talk about, you know, justice for Fitzgerald, yep, right?
Exactly.
So we have that going on. And a very cool forecast. It actually felt good this morning, but I wish we had this weather for today and this weekend during the week and the hot weather for the weekend, Nick.
I hope this weather is exactly the way it is today on July 20th for the bike ride. I need 65 degrees in July if we're going to go 65 miles to Atlantic City. It is 65 right now, high of 72 today. Saturday and Sunday, a beautiful weekend, high 80s, low humidity, not much rain in the forecast. Philly weather brought to you by MTRuhl.com, your Generac generator experts. That's MTRuhl.com. All right, coming up next, the top Biden aide admits to Congress that she directed auto pen signatures without knowing who gave her final approval. It's Kale and Company.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app.
Friday, Kale and Company. 7:26, cut sheet in less than 20 minutes. It's a fairish Friday, officially at 7:45 when Sean joins us from Tennessee.
Sure.
We've had a lot of big stories in the news the last couple of weeks. I got through the CNN, Pete Hegseth, effectiveness of the strike story. The other big story that has been out there this week that's really been, I think, buried to the least the page three, if you want to call it, is this whole Joe Biden auto pen story that has now resulted in testimony on Capitol Hill. As the headline yesterday, top Biden aide admits to Congress she directed auto pen signatures without knowing who gave final approval. We've got a couple of clips to play for you, but let me give you the backdrop to this story. So according to the column that I have, Fox as well as The Hill, a former top aide to President Joe Biden said she was authorized to direct auto pen signatures, but was unaware of who in the president's inner circle was giving her final clearance. That according to a source familiar with the aide's closed-door testimony in front of Congress on Wednesday. Neera Tanden is the former director of Biden's Domestic Policy Council. She testified for hours on Wednesday during an interview in front of her Oversight House Committee, which is investigating the former president's mental acuity and his use of an automatic signature tool that allowed aides to sign pardons, memos, and other important documents on Biden's behalf. During Tanden's interview before Congress, which lasted more than 5 hours, she told lawmakers that in her role as staff secretary and senior advisor to the former president between 2021 and 2023, she was authorized to direct auto pen signatures on behalf of Biden. The system of approval used, according to Tanden's testimony, relayed to Fox News and other outlets, was inherited from previous administrations, to which I would say, well, no other administration had a POTUS that was brain dead. So that's not necessarily apples to apples. Tanden, who reportedly said during her testimony that she had limited interactions with Biden in her role, according to sources familiar with her testimony, described an approval process that left her, at least partly, in the dark about who specifically was giving final approval on the decisions to use the automatic signature tool, even though she simultaneously insisted that Joe Biden was in charge. Which, to me, when I read that and I comprehend and process this, that's a total and a complete contradiction. Let's go to a couple of clips here. Phil Omquist, let's start with K3. This is Neera Tanden. She is the one that we just referenced and the quotes that I gave you that testified. Let's roll clip K3.
A brief comment.
Thank you.
I just spoke with the House Oversight Committee, Majority and Minority Council. I answered every question, was pleased to discuss my public service, and it was a thorough process, and I'm glad I answered every question.
Was there an effort to disguise President Biden's condition?
Absolutely not.
And she walks away. That right there is the visual of the lady that had the auto pen that could very well have her fingerprints all over plenty of disasters from the Biden administration. Now I want to go to K2, Phil. This is Theodore Wold on Capitol Hill laying the law down on what exactly you can and cannot do with the auto pen. Clip K2, roll it.
A number of your colleagues on the Democrat side have said, well, there's an OLC opinion here. We don't need to talk anymore. There's an OLC opinion. It says you can use the auto pen. That opening, the opening paragraph of that OLC opinion says you can use the auto pen, but only when the president directs that you do so under his decision-making power, right? It is very clear again and again that the president actually has to make the decision. That cannot be delegated to a staffer or an advisor. And there's no indication here that anyone other than staff were making these decisions.
So you think about it. We are now 1 year removed from the end of Biden's political career, that disastrous debate where he was a complete and unmitigated disaster on stage on CNN. Does anybody actually believe, with what we've seen from Joe Biden a year ago, that this guy was in the right frame of mind mentally, sharp enough, despite Joe Scarborough saying, oh, he's cogent, he's as sharp as he's ever been. Do you think Joe could read hundreds and hundreds of pages in bills and documents and policy? Do you think he was really calling a shot? I know that's a rhetorical question. I know what the audience thinks. The answer is no. But you think about this. You have this lady here, Neera Tanden, and think about all the things that drove us nuts during the Biden presidency, whether it was COVID policies, EV mandates, student loan forgiveness, military issues, disastrous withdrawals. Think about what Doge has uncovered, all of the spending. Do you think Joe Biden was aware that our tax dollars was going to third world countries for absurd causes that you wouldn't believe unless Doge and Big Balls, which, by the way, report came out last night from Wired that the Trump administration and the White House just rehired Big Balls, gave him a full-time job in the administration. So apparently Big Balls needed like a four-day vacation. You know, he's 19, probably wanted to live his life, go down the Wildwood for a little bit, and now he's back to doing what Big Balls does. But with all the spending and the causes in countries that we've never heard of for ridiculous policies, does Joe Biden have a clue what was going on? And how can this lady sit there and say she was basically the auto pen person, but have limited interaction with the guy that she's using the signature of? And then, well, I don't really know who the final orders were coming from. So that leaves us, I would think, Dawn, just to speculate, was it Nancy Pelosi? Was it Dr. Jill Biden herself? Was it AOC? Is it Chuck Schumer? Is it Barack Obama? Is it another squad Dem? Is it somebody, quote, in the deep state that we've never seen a face or a voice or a name of? Who was actually running the country? Because it is an unbelievably difficult sell to convince anybody with a functional brain that Joe Biden was calling the shots. You can love Trump, like Trump, be indifferent on him, although I don't know how that's possible. You can hate his guts. But you know it's a Trump production.
Mm-hmm.
He's the one calling the shots, for better or worse. It's one of these things, Dawn, it reminds me of when I was in sports, where you had a head coach and a general manager and a vice president of operations, and you never really knew who was, you know, running the operation. And too many cooks in the kitchen. Well, it could have been this guy, and then this guy takes credit, but this guy doesn't want to take the blame. What do you make of this?
You know, I think it does bring up a point of these auto pens. I think it's in part why we see President Trump doing these signings with the press there on camera.
With the Sharpie. At his desk.
and you see how it probably goes, because the person, you know, who's holding all the documentation will give a brief summary of it. You know, presumably they've had background conversations, but in this, they give a brief summary for the media, for everybody, and then he signs it. I actually think that's a great process. Why not in this digital age, for the history books, if for no other reason, for their libraries, their presidential libraries, have everybody just sign it, at least on video, to capture it. Now, it could be a wide shot in the room. You turn on the whatever camera up like we have here on YouTube. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Why not just record it for the history books? Why not? And so that would eliminate any question that somebody behind the scenes, you know, is doing this auto pen. But the auto pen goes way back.
Yeah.
You know, if you look at the history of it, it's not something new. It's something that we're hearing about out of concern that Biden really didn't know what was going on.
And I understand, you know, that there's precedent for this, and then there's the history of it, of, you know, administrations using it. But we've never had a president in my lifetime, which is, you know, 41 years, and my lifetime will be wrapped up in about the next 19 to 20.
Stop.
That we've had a president.
It's always funny. It will always be funny.
It will always be funny. You're damn right it will be. We've never had a guy like this. I mean, and I didn't even mention Kamala. Was Kamala really the one calling the shots? And remember what she said when Sonny Hostin nuked and ended her political career. Would you change anything about the Biden administration? And she says, no, I can't think of anything that I would change. Now, that was a terrible answer. But what if it was, in fact, Kamala calling the shots? So then you're led to believe, well, of course she wouldn't change anything. She's the one that was sitting there signing off on all of this, or forcing this off to auto pen broad number two, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at the whole concept of this auto pen, how many people, I mean, think about this. You have, in any walk of life, somebody in their 80s, elderly, not with it, compromised mentally and or physically. How many times are there people trying to get ahead in life that take advantage of a senior citizen in any capacity, right? You don't think in Washington, D.C., of all places, in the swamp, with Joe Biden asleep at 6:30 p.m., that there's not documentation being signed off while he's in La La Land dreaming of fudge pops? I mean, come on.
Well, you know, Ronald Reagan was president until 1989. There were all of those stories that he apparently, you know, did have the dementia and had some different issues. Nancy at the time was, you know, if you look back at how she's remembered.
Am I president, mommy?
Yeah. You know what I mean? There are those jokes. Yeah, mommy, and we got daddy.
It's pretty true.
It was actually that never say that daddy thing. It is cringe effing creepy.
What
is it, like, oh my god,
the whole Trump daddy.
I did a
thing
whole thing on it.
That's gross. It's gross.
I'm your daddy.
Yeah, it's
and
gross.
Now I'm getting I get all the fundraising stuff from every
cringe
elected official, and now it's like they called me daddy.
It's cringe.
I like to be called Big Papa, personally.
Getting back to Ronald Reagan, yes, it is. I mean, it's not a.
Oh, and I'm sure it's happened under a Republican.
Yes,
as well.
It's not a. It's not a.
Did he call you daddy?
It's not a conspiracy. You have some issues, my dear. Really do.
Daddy issues?
I don't know. You have something.
Daddy.
It's creepy.
Daddy wasn't there.
No, but I. You know, I think that, you know, that's what they've said. So was that happening under Reagan as well? And so that brings me to say, be careful what you wish for. Because if they start investigating this, then somewhere along the line, somebody's going to say, well, let's go back in history and let's investigate everybody. So, I think what they the better thing to do is look forward and say, why don't we just from now on do these signings seriously? Just capture video. You don't have to release it until they're, you don't have to release it necessarily. You don't have to do it in front of the press necessarily, but you're capturing it.
Mm-hmm. 855-839-1210 if you would like to jump in. Coming up next, we head down to Tennessee. It is a fairish Friday.
Sure.
Yes, sir. We will talk with you. Coming up next as we get ready for the last cut sheet of the week. Stay there. It's Kale and Company, and we're back after this.
You've heard me talk about replacing my windows and doors with Chapman Windows, Doors, and Siding for years now, and I can tell you there is a Chapman difference. Core values centered right around high-quality workmanship, outstanding service, exceptional products, and a team that empowers you rather than, you know, trying to sell you something. And it's the reason I've stuck with Chapman for many years now, because I do believe that there is this Chapman difference. Mike and Mark Chapman, they started their own business about, 30 years ago at this point in Chester County. And as their business has grown, their families have grown, they're great people. I trust them. And I believe the Chapman name is synonymous with integrity. You can call them. You can text them, 610-431-8898. You can take a virtual tour, see all the before and afters of their great work. ChapmanWindowsDoors.com. They have all kinds of financing offers available. Go ahead, dream a little bit. Do what I did. Reach out to Chapman Windows, Doors, and Siding. Tell them Dawn sent you.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Mustard. Kale and Company, 7:45. It is a Friday morning. That means the cut sheet has arrived. And with the cut sheet on a Friday, Straight from Murfreesboro, Tennessee, comes Sean Farish.
Woo!
What's up, sir?
Good morning. I'm just crunching some numbers now that there's a report that Andrew Cuomo may not be dropping out of the New York City mayor's race, and it's still not good news for anybody who doesn't want to live in New London, right? It's still not good news. You know, it's unfortunate, but even if Cuomo steals 20% of the Democrat vote, Adams steals 10% of the Democrat vote based off of 2021 numbers, Mamdani still wins by 20 points. New York City is
ouch.
It's cooked.
So
yeah,
Curtis Sliwa should just stick to his radio show, is what you're saying?
You know, what I'm saying is, and look, even if, and it's not even a shot at Curtis, because I helped him out. I was campaigning with him in 2021, and he ran a very spirited campaign. Even if Curtis Sliwa drops out and somehow endorses Andrew Cuomo, which, I mean, that would be very interesting, you're going to have to convince New York City voters to vote for Cuomo, and I just don't think it's going to happen. Mm-hmm. Like, I think this election is already unless Cuomo siphons away, you know, 30%+ of the vote, I think this thing is already over.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. So,
well,
you know,
agree. Yeah.
I know a lot of people are going
to
say, but what if, but what about this, but what about that? I'm sorry. The numbers don't.
As Jasmine Crockett would say, the math ain't mathin'.
Yeah, the math ain't mathin'. And I'll say one more thing. I think the collateral damage of the New York City mayoral race is, now that all its national attention's on New York City, it's not going to be on Jersey. So, you know, you're going to see a lot of attention taken away from
that potential race.
Yeah,
that's a great point. I also noticed, I loved your tweet the other day, Sean, that you put out that said, Tennessee is full. It's closed. We don't need anybody anymore.
Listen, to any liberals, because, you know, sometimes we get a few. So to any liberals who are maybe listening to this thinking, I got to get out of New York City.
Yep.
You don't want to come to Tennessee, though.
No.
Okay. There's too many Republicans. There's too many guns. You can't chop off your children's genitals. You know, you can't. The taxes are way too low.
Right.
You know, the housing is too affordable. You know, ICE is welcome. You don't want to come here.
Nope.
Don't do it. It's closed. We're closed. We don't want you.
I left. You went. And then it was that. That's no vacancy. Move on.
That's
no mas.
Find
it's
another
closed.
State.
All no
right.
mas.
Greg Stocker,
yeah.
What do you got lined up at 7:48 there,
so
buddy?
Much.
What's on the cut sheet?
What's on the cut sheet on this Friday? A Farish Friday sponsored by our good friends and great sponsor, Rita's Italian Ice. Rita's is making waves with new Kool-Aid Charcoal Berry Finn Ice, with a fun mix of tropical fruit flavors in every bite. It's the must-try treat of the summer. Don't wait. Try Kool-Aid Charcoal Berry Finn Ice at Rita's today. Be Kool-Aid at Rita's. I'll probably get a Rita's today as I'm waiting for 7 hours at the DMV to get my license renewed. There's a Rita's right next door. I'll have to get some Kool-Aid Charcoal Berry Finn Ice as I'm pulling my hair out at the DMV.
You're going to start.
Oh, by the way, the DMV is really bad in Tennessee, too, so don't come here. To the liberals.
You're going to start your weekend by sitting in line at the DMV?
I have to, man. I have to.
There might not be a worse way to start a weekend than being at the DMV.
Yeah, I know.
At least it'll give you a better reason to drink.
Or take that Charcoalberry Finn Ice from Rita's. Thank you, Rita's. All right, it is the one-year anniversary. Nick mentioned this earlier. It is the one-year anniversary of the President Trump-Joe Biden debate that ended his career effectively.
So happy we beat Medicare.
This is just a little highlight of just going in the Wayback Machine. Let's reminisce a little bit from 1 year ago today, June 27th, 2024, the debate that ended it all. Roll it.
That $2 trillion tax cut benefited the very wealthy. What I'm going to do is fix the tax system. For example, we have 1,000 trillionaires in America, billionaires in America, making sure that we're able to make every single solitary person eligible for what I've been able to do with the dealing with everything we have to do.
Trump's
with,
face in this is amazing.
Look.
Tell I used to look at my pop-up.
We finally beat Medicare.
Thank you, President Biden. President Trump?
Well, he's right. He did beat Medicaid. He beat it to death.
And I'm going to continue to move until we get the total ban on the total initiative relative to what we're going to do with
you think he's in there thinking,
patrol.
Boy, I got this in the bag.
Asylum officers.
President Trump?
I really don't know what he said at the end of that sentence. I don't think he knows what he said either.
That was
amazing.
When my wife and daughters moved back up from Tennessee, that was like night number three that they were there. And my daughters are in bed and I'm watching it with my wife. And my wife's giving me the side eye because she knows I'm starting to get like pumped up. I'm pumping my, I'm like, he's collapsed. I'm like, here we go, baby. Here we go. It's like a sporting event. That, and then,
he's seen from in bed with Nick Cannon.
Yeah, laying in bed there, just, you know.
I remember last year, I had a flight to catch the following morning to go out to Washington State to do an event out there for a county Republican party, and my wife and I were getting ready. I got a late start on grilling at our apartment complex, so one of the grills they had there, and I was like, oh my gosh, we're gonna miss the debate, and so we ran in, you know, we ran out. I grilled these beautiful pork chops, right? And they were so nice. They were so beautiful. And so we ran in, and I'm getting ready to eat. I turned the debate on. You know, we're going back into the apartment. I got it streaming on my phone. We hear, you know, Tapper and Dash, and this is, you know, and the debate. And so we get in, and the debate starts. And I'm just sitting there, and I hear, you know, Biden's opening remarks, and I'm like, wait a second. And we look at the TV. I said, what is wrong with him? This is not, there's no way he's going to do the whole debate like this. And he did. We both sat there the whole night like this. Oh my. I was like, this is it. Like, yeah. this is it. Mm-hmm. And that was, it was bad.
It was.
Bad, bad, bad.
Yep. He did not have the energy. He was not hopped up on whatever they've given him in the past, possibly, to give him.
Well, he had jet lag and a cold, Nick.
Yeah, cold, right, yeah.
And remember, and somebody, Scott, on the YouTube chat pointed out how this was also the evening where Jill Biden trotted him out and said how good he did.
Oh, you were magnificent.
Donald Trump, it was a lie. He lied. I was like, oh my.
Well,
and then what, 2 weeks after that, he had a big boy press conference. Like, they treated him like a toddler.
I know.
Well, last year, as we wrapped up the bike ride in Atlantic City, literally as we pulled into our tent for pictures, everybody started coming up to me. Biden just dropped out.
I got to tell you, as far as content goes, nothing will beat the summer of 2024.
Greatest year of radio.
Between
ever.
The debate, Biden dropping out, Trump assassination attempt. Bummer. I mean, it was just, it was just like, it was 3 weeks of insanity.
Mm-hmm.
Well, guys, I think you should be upset and nervous because Harry Sisson and Don Lemon have teamed up to bring the Republicans down.
I knew he was gay. I knew it.
Are they doing a show?
I knew it.
Roll this. Cringe.
Oh, almighty.
Yeah, look at the way Sisson's walking, by the way. Yeah. He definitely, something happened before they shot that.
Cringe. Yeah. Cringe, you know, guys.
What is that, an ad for Abercrombie and Fitch?
look at, not a.
I think it's an ad for Pride Month.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. Not a hair on either of them, by the way.
Hey, it's Harry Sisson for Hollister.
Oh, God.
I don't know who got treated worse, Harry Sisson or the goats in the Ayatollah's cave.
It's a sin.
I mean, seriously, think about the guys that the Democrats roll out, whether it's David Hogg, it's Harry Sisson. Who's the other guy? Still can't grow a facial hair. There's another one. You're trying to appeal to men, and you trot out Don Lemon and Harry Sisson?
Yeah.
Keep it up.
It's just...
fine by me.
I'm telling you, the Don Lemon-Harry Sisson video is not going to help the gay rumors about Harry Sisson. I'm just saying. And I am going to be a reason why that's the case. So,
by the way, Sean brought up Mamdani. He was on CNN last night, and Aaron Burnett asked if he liked capitalism. You guys are going to be shocked, I tell you, to hear this. 25, Phil. 25, go.
So when people say democratic socialist, right, and I'm curious what you think this means. I mean, do you like capitalism?
No, I have many critiques of capitalism. And I think ultimately the definition for me of why I call myself a democratic socialist is the words of Dr. King decades ago. He said, call it democracy or call it democratic socialism, there must be a better distribution of wealth for all of God's children in this country. And that's what I'm focused on, is dignity and taking on income inequality. And for too long, politicians have pretended that we're spectators to that crisis of affordability. We're actually actors, and we have the choice to exacerbate it, like Mayor Adams has done, or to respond to it and resolve it, like I'm planning to do.
I'll give my take to that in a second, but I want to just proposition Sean here with a question. So what is worse, Sean Farish, being a Jets fan or seeing your city now possibly operated and controlled by a socialist with city-owned grocery stores? Which one's more painful for you?
I would say probably being a Jets fan, because I'm in Tennessee, so what happens in New York City really doesn't matter.
I know.
But the Jets still lose every week no matter what, and I still figure out a way to find out how badly they played. You know, I don't pay for Sunday ticket because who the hell is going to pay $500 to watch that? Okay? But when it comes to, you know, so New York City, you can move away when you are essentially alive because of the Jets, right? Like, that's part of the reason why my parents came together, mm-hmm. right? So, like, the Jets brought me into this world and they're going to take me out. Like, you know, and yep. So they played a role. You know, so you know, my voice was always raspy, right? Because I was 5 years old. Rich Kotite or some was the head coach.
Yeah.
So it's like I was screaming and yelling, like, why do they suck? I didn't realize at that age I'd be saying the same thing 30 years later.
Right.
So, right. Like, you know, it's I am permanently scarred physically because of that team.
Yeah.
So I'm always going to be drawn back to that 15,000 car pileup on the interstate that is New York Jets football,
mm-hmm.
right? So I would say they're worse than the New York City. That's that the Jets are worse than socialism. What does that say about them?
That's really remarkable. I just love this distribution of wealth. I mean, if I'm Aaron Burnett or if I'm any host and that's the answer I get, I'm immediately responding with, well, why do we have to distribute the wealth? Shouldn't you be able to keep everything that you earn, whether it's, you know, on merit based or right place, right time, whether it's, you know, you walked into wealth because daddy was wealthy, whatever it is. Why do we have to distribute wealth so that everybody can have the equal? This it goes back to the whole diversity, equity and inclusion mantra with this concept of equity. I'm all for equality. We should all be treated with respect and dignity and yada, yada, yada. But man, life is about going out there and grabbing it by the balls, right? Big ball style. And you should not feel sorry if you reach the pinnacle of your profession and all of a sudden somebody has less because whether they didn't work hard, they weren't talented enough, or maybe they had a bad break, they became disabled, whatever it is. The mere notion of the distribution of wealth just infuriates me. I'm not sure how you feel about that.
I don't look, when you talk about the hard-earned money and the hard-earned assets and the hard-earned wealth of you know, the American citizen, whoever it might be, the government has no right to take it away from you and give it to other people. So I look at socialism. I look at any, you know, whether it's socialism, communism, socialism light, whatever it is. Whenever I start hearing about redistribution of wealth, I become very upset and immediately tuned out of the rest of what that person can say, right? Yeah. It's just I will never – when you're – Eric Adams, you know, categorized him as a snake oil salesman.
Yeah.
And honestly, if you're Eric Adams, you got to be a little bit more aggressive than that. Just call the guy a terrorist, would you please? Like, what do you have to lose?
Yeah,
okay?
It's true.
Go out there in the middle of New York City and say, if this guy was running for mayor in you know, in 2001, he would have been cheering when the towers came down. Someone's got to say it.
Yeah.
Someone's got to say it, and even if it's not true, you have to say it. Because if you run this softest baby poo politically correct campaign in New York City, that guy's a lock. Someone's got to do it, right?
What does it say if Eric Adams, of all people, is calling you a snake oil salesman? This is a guy who made a political pivot, a full 360 in 9 months from the moment he was indicted or he was investigated. Remember when his place was raided by the FBI?
Yep.
As soon as he started speaking out against the current or the previous administration, he all of a sudden became persona non grata as well.
Yeah, this is a guy last year who said, you know, we're going to move the illegal immigrants to New York private residences. And I'm sitting there going, oh, my gosh. And then he gets indicted and he's like, I love Donald Trump. You know, he starts in Mayor Google. You can Google that. You know, I call him Mayor Google.
You know, it's
right?
funny.
Because this guy speaks like he's a fifth grader.
Well,
come on.
He sounds like Tracy Morgan. And Sherelle Parker looks like Tracy Morgan.
Very good point. It's a very good point. We should merge her face and his speaking pattern.
I wonder if Eric Adams could spell Eagles.
No, probably not.
By the way,
there we go.
All right, it's too long.
It's 5 seconds.
Sorry, it's too long.
All right, Jimmy, moving forward. Three sec limit on the drops.
Speaking of New York.
What about it?
A group of teens, this is amazing to me. This video is courtesy of Inside Edition. This is 28. They were seen, teens in quotation, they were seen stuffing a swan. They stole a swan.
What?
And the actual animal?
Yeah. There's a swan, which I guess is on the endangered species list.
Yes, and they mate for life.
Oh.
And so if
so do
you
cardinals.
Kill... so do what?
Cardinals.
Oh, really?
Really.
Yeah. I didn't know that.
But swans... So the one at the Morris Arboretum, the female got stuck in the pipe, and the poor guy, the male, is just like... Aah! He's just... They mate for life, so if one dies, that's it. It's the saddest thing.
Well, apparently the swan was the parent to four baby swans. But these hooligans stole the swan and stuffed it into their Prius. The swan has not been seen from, by the way. Roll this video.
Outrage over the abduction of one of Mother Nature's most magnificent creatures, a swan. The suspect was caught running down the street with the giant swan tucked under his arm. Then he stuffs the bird into the back seat of the getaway car with his buddies. The four knuckleheads are cracking up as they take off.
It was a little brutal. You can tell they had experience holding these birds.
Stephanie Santiago witnessed the swan napping.
One of them
the swan napping.
Smile on his face. And I
can you say? Can you stop?
By the way, the swan's bigger than the getaway vehicle.
What's the? I don't know the ethnicity of these. I don't know where they're from. But are they gonna eat it? why are they stealing?
Well, that was a thing, right?
Yeah, yes,
they're eating the dogs.
Yes, well, that's what I'm saying.
Right?
You know, like, what are they doing with said swan?
How do you like your
swan?
Well,
listen, I knew, okay, I knew someone,
yeah,
back in the day, who may or may not have done this to a goose, and as to play a prank on somebody. So I don't know if they're playing I knew of this happening.
Well, I mean, there's
15 years ago. The statute of limitations is probably run out on that.
So. A swan goes for anywhere around $4,000 to $5,000.
Stop looking at me, swan.
It is possible to eat swan. It is described as dark, lean, and can be gamey or tough.
Yes.
It can be compared to duck. With a mild and clean taste.
Well, don't.
First of all. If you eat any waterfowl around New York City, you're going to grow a third leg. I'm telling you right
Avian
now.
Avian bird flu.
It's going to be worse than bird flu and whatever that new strain of COVID that's causing quote-unquote razor blade throat because, haven't been dramatic enough.
Yeah.
If you eat any sort of waterfowl in or around the New York City area, you're going to die.
I'm just going to say that.
Or you're going to mutate. And you're going to look like, I don't know, like you're going to wind that you're going to come out. You're going to have something looking like Voldemort in Harry Potter. I'm telling you, it's going to be a mess.
Well, there are certain places like in Haiti and stuff like that where they take animals like this and sacrifice them right to their to their voodoo gods or something. Don't they?
Yeah.
Don't they do seriously?
Swan hunting and consumption are legal in some states, including Alaska, Utah, Nevada, North Carolina, Virginia, Delaware, North Dakota, South Dakota, Montana, and Idaho.
But maybe Don's correct. Maybe they're just because there's such a big bounty on the swan's head that maybe they're just going to sell it.
It says it's banned in New York. You cannot swan hunt in New York.
Roll a little bit more of this video.
You're going to see me again. And when you see me, you won't be smiling.
Swans are known for being territorial and making loud noises if a human gets too close. But the snatched swan is a species known as a mute swan. These swans are even quieter, so she didn't make a lot of noise when she was taken. To make this all the more upsetting, the swan had just given birth, and her lifelong mate has been calling out in distress, desperate for his long-lost love.
Oh, that's horrendous.
Stephanie shared her video of the theft, and the Howard Beach community in Queens, New York, leapt into action.
The community was enraged. These birds are a fixture in our community. They have families. They have babies. They reproduce.
A resident spotted the suspects and called cops.
They have apprehended the vehicle that was used and involved with the swan abduction, and the vehicle and the occupants, unfortunately, have no swan with them.
So, what happened to the abducted swan from Queens? Unfortunately, it's a mystery.
Mm-hmm. We don't know if we'll ever see that bird again.
Nope.
Police are investigating.
They chopped his head off.
Man.
I think it's a hate crime. The swan was white, by the way.
Apparently, animal rights activists are fearing to your point about the sacrifice, that it may have been used in some kind of a sacrifice as part of a ritual. And so that is a legitimate piece of the Queen's investigation.
I want to know where these kids are from. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Can I just say it?
Yeah.
You saw, you know, what these kids kind of looked like.
Yeah.
I'm just going to say it. Import the third world, become the third world. Okay. Right. Mm-hmm. Well, you think things are going to get better. Mm-hmm. You know what? If Mom Donnie wins, this is going to happen to more swans.
Yeah.
Because you know why else? You're not going to have anything to eat in New York City because they're going to do city controlled grocery stores. So they're going to start eating birds.
Bring back the bare shelves.
Yeah.
That's it. Bare shelves, Zoran or whatever the hell his name is.
We are all animal lovers on the show. So like this disgusts me.
It's horrible
in a huge way.
You think there's any X feeds dedicated to the missing swan?
God. But Sean, what you said, you're 100% right. I mean, this is what happens. You know what I mean? Like, oh, everybody's welcome here. Okay, good.
How does anybody arrive at the conclusion one day that I'm just going to go swipe a swan and stick it in the back of a Prius?
Yeah.
By the way, the ACLU is probably already out saying, you know, don't deport those kids. They're just looking for a better life. So,
So they're not releasing the names of the suspects.
Shocking.
Oh,
because they're minors, right?
I think only one is a minor.
So why are they not releasing the names then?
I mean, the New York Post took screenshots of the arrest, and they're showing the individuals, but they're not naming them, the authorities.
It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. The media and the cover-up, so they can save their asses, is just disgraceful. Find these kids and firing squad.
Yep.
Thank you.
And they're not releasing whether or not the four alleged perpetrators, are they Native American? Are they native to this nation?
Or Pocahontas was a Native American. Right? She said she was a Native American. And then they took her face off. They took her face off the butter. Remember that? They removed the Indian and they kept the land. Imagine that. Not supposed to do that. Trail of Tears.
Nick did his big take, and we spent a lot of the 6 o'clock hour debating the CNN report on the status of Iran's nuclear program. In question is the CNN report. Natasha Bertrand, who first had the report, she was on with Caitlin Collins last night, doubling down on her claims. This is cut 32, Phil.
My lead source tonight is CNN's Natasha Bertrand, who covers national security and was one of the reporters on this exclusive story that CNN broke the other day. And Natasha, it's great to have you here tonight. Just in terms of what we are hearing today and that briefing that we saw from the defense secretary this morning, which the president, I should note, announced as they were flying back last night together from the Netherlands. I wonder what you made of what he said and what you know based on your reporting.
Well, look, Caitlin, I think that the big takeaway from this briefing was that the Secretary of Defense confirmed our reporting. He confirmed that there was this very preliminary DIA assessment that, in his words, and as we have confirmed, was low confidence in nature because it was produced very soon after these strikes took place. It was an initial look at just what kind of damage was done by these U.S. military strikes. And I think, you know, the DIA assessment, according to our sources, it said that the strikes did not appear to have destroyed, at least at first glance, given all of the information that they had available to that time, at that time, the core components of Iran's nuclear program, and said that based on that, because it was unclear at that point just how much damage these bombs had done to the underground facilities where those core components are stored, including the enriched uranium, including the centrifuges, then it appeared at that time that the program had only been set back by a few months. Now, the briefing today did not do much to give us any new information that would dispute that, and that is largely because the intelligence community is still gathering intelligence about it. That is what they're expected to do, as the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Dan Kane, said earlier today. He said, look, we're not going to do the battle damage assessment. That is up to the intelligence community. But he did lay out, as you said, a lot of interesting and really fascinating details about all of the decade plus work that went into preparing for this kind of military operation, making sure the bombs hit their targets at exactly the right angle, the right speed, the right time. I mean, that is enormously difficult. And he did say that those bombs were believed to have gone down those ventilation shafts at Fordo Nuclear Facility, which is enormously important because, of course, if they go down those shafts, that indicates that there's going to be an explosion below ground, which is really key. But I think, yeah, you know, one of the biggest questions also is what happened at the other facilities? Because the U.S. military carried out strikes on Natanz nuclear facility, on Isfahan nuclear facility. And we don't know what the impact there was because the Secretary of Defense and the chairman really did not touch on that. So still a lot to be learned, I think, about this military operation, Caitlin.
So, Sean, earlier this morning, that was the big take we got into, whether you believe Trump and Hegseth or a CNN reporter with a checkered history of getting things wrong and running with things that were not correct. But it's amazing to me that we've reached the point with low-level CNN that they are doing these mental gymnastics over what the definition really is of the term obliterated. Like, they're so caught up on Trump's hyperbole and rhetoric and his terminology that he uses that they're willing to basically nuke their credibility over the littlest, I would almost say, ticky-tack thing is obliterated. Was it a success? I think it was. Was it 100%? Yeah. I don't know. Nobody really knows. But the way they frame it, it's almost as if they're rooting for America to fail against Iran. Yeah. It's staggering.
Yeah, I agree. If they need help with the definition of, first of all, with CNN, it still shocks me that they gave Scott Pressler a job at CNN. I mean, you know, because Caitlin Collins, you look at her. Caitlin. And Scott always says that. You know, he always says that she looks like him, which is not a compliment. Okay?
So, to him, maybe, you know, it is, right?
To him, it's a compliment.
He has better hair.
It's not a compliment. Yeah. He definitely has better hair. you know, but, and we love Scott. But, if CNN needs help with the definition of obliterated, compare their ratings in 2016 to their ratings now.
Good one.
Obliterated. Okay? So there it is. Then they wouldn't need any help anywhere else. That's it.
But you know what? Earlier, Greg played the clip one with the original, the initial reporting that Natasha, Nasty Natasha, as they're calling her on social media, Bertrand.
Rocky and Bullwinkle, by the way.
And she never... And she never says in that initial report that I heard the words low confidence. She says early assessment. She says early, but she never says low confidence in that initial report.
And remember, you know, you go back in the day, CNN would be able to get away with this. But I gave you those screen grabs with the sourcing and the links from Media Research Center and Newsbusters that shows low confidence and then the other term that they apparently claimed was in the initial report on Tuesday are nowhere to be found in the transcript. Not until Wednesday, when they updated the story, were those words put in. See, they think they haven't learned anything. They're not going to... X has now become... And look, there's plenty of fake stuff on X. Trust me, there's plenty of fake garbage on X.
Plenty.
X is a great place where you can totally provide a receipt for what the legacy media said or did. I mean, how many times did we play montages? Bibi Netanyahu, right? 30 years we've been hearing about Iran, nuclear weapons from Bibi. The Joe Biden, he's sharp as a tack. Joe Scarborough. There's a lot of good stuff where nowadays, which goes to show you how stubborn and stupid CNN is, that they're tripling down on this with multiple hosts and anchors in defense of a lady who has been exposed 4 times now as way off on her sourcing and her reporting. I'm not calling for her to be fired, but I don't believe her.
No, you can't believe anything that comes out of Natasha Bertrand's mouth. You have to believe. You know, you have to take the thought process of if her lips are moving, there's lies being told. That's where you have to start, and then you can do your own research and say, well, you know, she's claiming that water's wet. Let me go take a shower and find out if that's still the case. And then you come out and you go, all right, she's right about that. Probably not right about much else.
The problem I have with this whole thing, and I said this earlier, is that this issue, which should not be a partisan issue, you know what I mean, is divided on party lines. And it's the, you know, it's the fans of the Trump administration saying, no, it's a complete success. We demolish everything. And it's the Democrats and the legacy media saying, no, not so fast on there. Case in point, Chris Murphy from Connecticut, who was in the briefing yesterday. Well, I mean, he's this is a senator saying basically what Natasha Bertrand is saying. Roll this. Cut 18, Phil. Do you have it here? Cut 18. Go.
Listen, I appreciate the briefing. This briefing should have happened immediately after these strikes. There's a real question as to why the Director of National Intelligence is not allowed to be in these briefings. That's a question that we should get answered. Listen, to me it still appears that we have only set back the Iranian nuclear program by a handful of months. There's no doubt there was damage done to the program. But the allegations that we have obliterated their program just don't seem to stand up to reason.
Okay. So just because he's a senator, I don't take anybody at their word. I challenge and question everything on a case-by-case basis.
Well, you're taking Pete Hegseth at his word.
No, here's the way I would describe this. As I said earlier in the first hour, was it 100% success? Was it total obliteration? I have no idea, but I would say if you're to think about it this way, I want you to visualize this. Picture a football field, right? And let's say, you know, you're in your own territory, inside your own 20. That would be... Now they set Iran back a few months. You get all the way to the goal line. You punch it in for a touchdown. That was complete obliteration. I believe north of the 50-yard line that Trump on that side were probably somewhere in the 20 to anywhere from we're in the red zone, put it that way, inside of the 20. I don't fall for propaganda. Is it 100%? I have no idea. I think it's definitely on the side of, hey, we're in the red zone. We're in scoring position. And look, there's a big difference between months of a setback versus decades, right? I mean, you don't got to be a rocket scientist to figure that one out. Are they 3 to 6 months destroyed? Are they 20 years setback? I don't know. But the nature of the media to not even really highlight how unbelievable this mission was. They flew 37 hours to go in and out in 25 minutes, and it was tight-lipped. Remember, there was no leaks on this at all. And this has been an administration for two cycles where there's always somebody in there chirping, and nobody said a word. But now, all of a sudden, there's a rogue leaker, possibly from Congress, that is feeding a tainted reporter with a shoddy record.
You know,
who do you trust more? And I'm not saying Pete Hegseth is a great guy, but, you know.
I'll take the side. First of all, I'll take the side of Hegseth in this case because, I voted for Donald Trump, so I'm going to, you know, defer to his judgment on this in terms of who should be the best pick for Secretary of Defense. B, you have the you do have the no leaks, right? So we heard everything endlessly, in February and March about Signalgate, and he's compromising security, and he's giving people access that shouldn't have access. But when it counted the most, and you had actual U.S. pilots in the air, there was no Signalgate, there was no leak, nobody knew what was going on, and there was a diversion, right? There were B-2 bombers going towards Guam, and everybody was looking at the shiny object, and then all of a sudden, you know, bombs fell in Iran, right? So when it mattered the most, okay, Pete Hegseth and the Department of Defense and the military kept it tight, kept it, you know, nobody knew it was coming until Donald Trump posted about it on Truth Social. So that's number one. Number two, you've got the Iranian regime saying nothing happened, which means something happened, okay? Because you got the Ayatollah saying, we punished the U.S. regime, and they surrender. These guys are propagandizing again. When was it Saturday or was it Monday? I don't know what day it was. When the quote unquote retaliation happened.
Yeah, that's for
and you
sure.
Had Iranian state media right after they were done featuring Candace Owens on Iranian state media. they decided who, by the way, is, you know, she got very close to accusing me of being paid to post about her yesterday, which is, you know, once again, apparently those who are posting about Candace and Tucker are paid by one Shlomo Riskin, according to Candace Owens. So I don't know. It's just, you know, she's way off the rails. We need to deport her from Tennessee. Way off the rails. Gives our state a bad name.
Sean, how much are the Jews paying you to tweet? That's what I need.
Oh, man. You know what? I wish they were giving me something. $5 would be fine because I love doing it for free. You can give me $5. Give me a little bit. So, look, I think when it comes to the Iranian nuclear program, when we say obliterated, right? Now everyone wants to get to the definition of obliterated. If you've set this thing back years, it's been obliterated. That's not to say they can't rebuild it, but it's going to take a long time. It's going to take a very long time to rebuild it. And I am going to take the side of – Hegseth and of this administration when it comes to who's been more trustworthy, who has a better reputation, Hegseth, Donald Trump, and this administration, or Natasha Bertrand, CNN, some leaker, and the Iranian regime. I'm taking the Trump. I'm taking Trump side on that.
Think about this as well. Let's just do it on a scale of 1 to 10. Trump says the operation was a 10 out of 10. Let's say it was an 8 out of 10. Let's say it was a 9 out of 10. CNN is relegated to going back and forth on what exactly is considered a success, as if there was lives that were lost, as if planes crashed, as if we lost soldiers in combat. I mean, this was, maybe it wasn't a complete execution on the mission at hand, but there was no casualties.
Why not, you know, we talk about transparency. Let's redact what needs to be redacted and just release it to the public. Why not do that?
I'd be fine with that.
What's the harm? What's the harm in, like, I understand that there's, you know, classified information and all that. Redact that and release what you can. Yeah. At least that shows, you know, this was destroyed or this was not destroyed. Release it to the public so we don't have to sit here and guess. Because my problem is that this is coming down on party lines and the American people get screwed. Because if we did or we didn't.
Nobody's getting screwed.
No.
Why did they have to report it and lie right off the bat? They normally, for many reasons, they want to look at it. There are some things they want to redact for the reason that we, and only we, have this technology. So there's a national security issue here, Greg. The issue I see clearly is the reporting, the fact that, and who leaked it. Because why in God's name did they have to report this thing within 24 to 48 hours? And Natasha got played. She very well may lose her job. She's lost total credibility. And they're investigating this thing. But at the end of the day, why did they have to report it then? Why didn't they wait? Why not just wait? Because they're so nasty and they hate Donald J. Trump. They hate him. They dream about him at night. They hate that man. And they wanted to just pee in his Wheaties after a huge weekend and a big military success that our nation has never seen.
By the way,
like something like that firepower.
Wheaties, the most overrated cereal of all time. Just atrocious.
Do they still make Wheaties?
I have no idea. I never liked them.
But they hate him, and that's why. It has nothing to do with good reporting. It has nothing to sit there and argue over the word obliterate. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, it's a waste of time. It really is. And it's a slap in the, and you know what? This is why Trump got very upset. Was it Wednesday morning where he dropped the F-bomb, right? Mm-hmm. Or Tuesday morning, mm-hmm. whatever it was, when he dropped the F-bomb? He was put into a very bad mood because of the CNN leak and all of this, New York Times and all this, that basically removed any sort of credit that you can apply to our military for conducting what was an unbelievable operation. And he said, you know what? You guys are arguing over language and you guys are arguing over a low confidence report. Remember, it was a low confidence report that originally suggested that COVID came from bat soup. So it's the same type of, you know, the same type of deal here. You're arguing over that instead of giving credit to, you know, you're arguing over that instead of giving credit to our military for running an unbelievably successful operation. Whether or not the whole thing was completely destroyed, I'm talking about its success from the standpoint of nobody died. Nobody was even close. Nobody knew it was coming. They went there. They came back 37 hours in the air. And it was remarkable what we were able to not just show Iran, but show the world. This is what we can do.
Well, and
celebrate
also,
that at the very least. And you're talking about word games now.
And let's say it was they were 75% successful with no major issues. What's wrong with possibly having to go back in 6 months from now, similar operation, and finish the job? You know, it's like a doctor or a dentist. Well, I was able to get 6 of your cavities, Nick, but tomorrow or next week we'll schedule and we'll get the final 2. Was that a failure? No.
No, you know, and that's the thing, right? Cause so you've seen how brilliant this operation was and how nobody saw it coming. And what you have to think about, too, if you're Iran, let's say you do have the opportunity to rebuild in a couple months. What's going to stop the U.S. from doing it again? They don't have air superiority, right? I mean, what's going to stop Trump from calling up BB? Hey, BB, You beautiful SOB. Let me tell you something. Take out their air defenses again. We got to do it again, right? I mean, what's going to stop it? And why don't you drop a few dreidels on their nuclear facility? Right? Let's
beautiful.
Let's make it happen. Right? No, I'm saying, right? So what's going to stop the U.S. from doing it again if we have to? We just proved we can do whatever the hell we want to that country. And they're not going to do anything back. What is Iran realistically going to do? Okay. If they wanted to cause, like, real damage to our military bases in the region, I don't even think they could. Yeah. The amount of surveillance that we have on the region, even if they didn't tell Trump it was coming, we'd probably see them lining up their launchers and say, all right, get everybody out of the way. You know, I don't think they could do much in the region. That's not to say, oh, well, you don't think they could do much, but all of a sudden we have to bomb them? Well, if they get a nuke and they can stick that warhead on an ICBM, well, then they could do something. I don't want them to be in that position. The point of the matter is, if they set it back 3 to 6 months, then in 3 to 6 months we're going to do what we just did again, and likely because of all the damage that you've done to the ground there, do more damage a second time if it's even needed. But you have the DNI, you got Gabbard, you got Ratcliffe, and you've got new intel assessments of higher confidence saying very significant damage was done to this, and potentially years, if not, decades worth of damage where they're not going to be able to do this. And again, I mean, I'm going to apply the, and I don't like saying that if someone says something, it's definitely not true, but the Iranian regime, you have CNN, the New York Times, and anybody who's saying, oh, nothing happened, believing word for word what the Iranian regime and their state media is saying. By that account, you probably believe that our base in Qatar was destroyed by 6 missiles that were intercepted. And by the way, 6 interceptions, they could play quarterback for the New York Jets. Let me tell you.
I want to get into the Tulsi Gabbard thing, but we'll do that next. Nick, can you talk to us about Piazza?
Absolutely, because they have just racked up more Kelley Blue Book Consumer Choice Awards, and that's more than any other brand, including best overall brand, most trusted brand, and best value brand. The Piazza Auto Group and their 5 Honda dealerships, they show you how it's done. It doesn't matter if you're eyeing the Accord, the CRV, the Pilot with the third row for the SUV, or even the Ridgeline truck. You're choosing a vehicle backed by real drivers just like yourself. Come experience the award-winning excellence at Piazza Honda. 5 locations in Philadelphia, Langhorne, Pottstown, Reading, or Springfield. And you can shop online at PiazzaHonda.com and check out today's special offers.
At Kitchen Magic, they've been transforming kitchens since 1979. Yeah, proudly American-made, locally made, family-owned, 100% tariff-proof. What does it mean? It means no international delays, no surprise fees, and this month only, take advantage of Kitchen Magic's 24-month same-as-cash financing. It is time to love your kitchen again. Visit KitchenMagic.com. You can call them 800-237-0799. KitchenMagic.com. Quality that's closer to home. Do this. You're running out of time. In June only, you get that special financing. What are you waiting for? KitchenMagic.com. Tell them Dawn sent you.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Kale and Company, it is a Farish Friday. Sean Farish with us from Nashville, Tennessee, as we continue Greg Stocker's never ending. And actually, Sean even said it in his tweet promoting his appearance.
Yeah.
The 2-hour cut sheet.
It's ridiculous.
Which includes Fight Club.
It's ridiculous. Yes, Fight Club coming up at 9:10. We will have a... Hang on, I have to get the correct verbiage right just to give it a little tease. There's a fight at the airport. Ooh. On the little carousel that the luggage goes on. Right on
Get
top of that.
Here.
Yeah.
Wait, on top of it?
On top of it. Yep.
Is this going to look like it's like on top of the... Okay, you know what? Yeah. We'll see when... I will pose a separate tease. I'm wondering if this is on top of the center or if these people are... This is like Pirates of the Caribbean and they're swashbuckling while on the carousel itself.
9:10 coming
Can't
up.
Wait for this.
Get on over to YouTube, youtube.com/@1210WPHT. By the way, while you're here, hit the like and subscribe buttons. Only 105 likes today. I don't like that. I need to get that up over 200. So hit that like button. Even if you don't stay, just get on over there, hit the like button, and come back to wherever you are listening to us. I want to get into the Tulsi Gabbard thing. She was not at the briefing yesterday. There are conflicting reports she wasn't supposed to be there. NBC News reporting that it's a there's a rift going on, that she's in the quote line of fire in the for Trump right now. Chris Murphy said this yesterday on with Caitlin Collins about Tulsi Gabbard not being allowed in the briefing. This is cut 29, Phil. Go.
Reach it.
Who from the administration did most of the talking today?
Caitlin, I know there's been reporting about that, that, you know, Secretary Hegseth didn't, you know, speak as much. I heard them all, you know, give their opinion. I do think it's really interesting that the Director of National Intelligence, Tulsi Gabbard, was not allowed in the room. I mean, I've never, ever been part of a major cabinet-level classified briefing where the Director of National Intelligence was banned from the room. And I think it stands to reason that they knew that she was not going to toe the line, that she was likely going to refuse to say what the administration wants, which is that the program was obliterated. Again, the evidence suggests that the program was not obliterated, and obviously Gabbard was kept out of that room, even though she would normally be leading that briefing, I assume, because she was going to tell some version of the truth.
So you think they didn't invite the Director of National Intelligence because they wouldn't like what she had to say?
I don't know why she wasn't there, but there is clearly a reason. And it's well known that when it comes to the pre-strike intelligence, Gabbard was telling, you know, a story that was very familiar to us, that Iran was still, you know, a long way away from a deliverable nuclear weapon, and that the regime had not made the choice to actually pursue or speed towards a nuclear weapon. That was inconvenient for a president that wanted to strike without congressional authorization, because if Iran hadn't even decided to get a nuclear weapon, then there is no imminent threat and you would have to come to Congress first. I have to assume that there was some story she was going to tell, some interpretation of the intelligence she was going to give today, that rubbed the White House the wrong way. Why else would the Director of National Intelligence not be leading a classified briefing on the interpretation of intelligence regarding these strikes?
All right, stop it right there. So, Sean, I heard you saying stop, stop, stop. Obliterated aside, the word, the terminology, the definition, do you feel like there is some sort of friction between Trump and Gabbard over the last couple of months? What do you make of this?
No, I think Chris Murphy is trying to I think he's trying to create that rift, and I think a rift, and I think that CNN is doing the exact same thing. Everyone likes to play this March 2025 analysis and, you know, take these words that Tulsi Gabbard said out of context. She just released a report with Ratcliffe not too long ago that mentioned that the Iran nuclear sites were obliterated or significantly damaged, more so than the low confidence report that Chris Murphy wants to refer to as quote unquote evidence. You know, I just listen to the way he spoke about, well, there's no or the evidence suggests that the site was not obliterated. And just remember that these people are referring to this and taking the side on this. Well, the evidence suggests that 2020 was fine. Well, the evidence suggests that COVID didn't come from a lab. Well, the evidence suggests that Donald Trump colluded with Russia. It's the same language. They're just throwing a different hoax in there, right? I think all this is it's a bunch of talk. It's a bunch of speculation that is meant to drive the wedge between Trump and Tulsi Gabbard, because I think they know that Tulsi Gabbard's actually doing a fine job in that role. I really look, is there friction? There may always be friction in terms of, you know, two pretty strong personalities having to deal with each other. But is there a rift? Is there as to why Tulsi Gabbard wasn't in the briefing and wasn't a part of, you know, these talks? I don't think so. I think everybody's on the same page here. And, you know, there were rumors the night of the strike, right? A week ago, Tulsi wasn't in the Situation Room until 12 hours later, pictures came out of Tulsi in the Situation Room. So everything we keep hearing about Tulsi and Trump and Trump and Tulsi and the rift and this and that, it all winds up, you know, 12 hours, 24 hours later, coming out in the wash and being nonsense. I really think CNN and the left, the mainstream media, are trying to create something that out of thin air that doesn't exist.
Tulsi Gabbard tweeted this 2 days ago. Sorry, Don. Go ahead. Jump in.
Right? No, I was just agreeing. I just...
Okay. She tweeted, this was Wednesday at 2:04 from her official DNI X feed. New intelligence confirms what POTUS has stated numerous times. Iran's nuclear facilities have been destroyed. If the Iranians chose to rebuild, they would have to rebuild all three facilities entirely, which would likely take years to do. Well, let me just say this. Let's just say it's not completely destroyed. Hypothetical. And it's on life support, severely damaged, whatever terminology you would like to use. I would be totally fine if we just agree in behind closed doors, Trump and Netanyahu, that Israel finishes the job. If we, you know, we've crippled them, we've severely weakened them, coin it, phrase it, however you would like, whatever makes your feelings feel great, and then just let Israel finish it off. What I found interesting, and I thought about this as I was in the boys' potty, and I, by the way, Sean, I don't.
It's the best place to do deep thinking.
I stand when I pee, unlike Lindsey Graham. So, what I find interesting is that Iran, a mid-level nation from a weaponry standpoint, technology-wise, you're telling me they built something so deep, so durable, so strong that severe damage did not occur from not one, not two, not six, but if I believe I have the number correct on, 14 MOABs. They dropped 14 of those mother of all bunker buster bombs that you are so infatuated with. 14 of them. And it didn't result in catastrophic damage.
Deep penetration.
If that's the case, then Iran is way ahead of the game, which I don't believe that they are.
Dawn's being silly.
Dawn said deep penetration.
I don't know if she's still... See, Dawn is talking about deep. She said deep penetration. I don't know if she's talking about the mother of all bombs or what the Ayatollah did to a few goats in the cave. I'm not exactly sure.
Maybe a swan.
What happened?
It's absolutely right? true.
Or maybe it could be a swan. You know, it could have been an 11-year-old because they're into that. You know, I have no idea.
It's true.
You
know, he's right.
I'm just calling it how I see it.
It's an amazing
right?
thing.
I'm just calling it how I see it.
Sharia law coming to New York City.
when you look at it too. Let's drop Stacey Abrams on your house and see how it goes.
Oh, no.
You know, because she has the gap between the two.
Yeah, she's the stucco smasher.
She was the beast of the Southeast. Yeah. Now she's the beast of the Middle East, right? And she was whistling all the way down. It was the only warning Iran had. She was whistling through those teeth.
She's the stucco smasher. She's the siding stasher. She's the, what else do you do? She's the brick buster. Can you imagine that?
She's the beast of the Middle East. Right?
Can you imagine laying in your man cave one night watching TV and your roof just collapses and Stacey Abrams just lands right there on your carpet?
No. I couldn't imagine that. I couldn't. I would have a very bad reaction. I would probably laugh once or twice and be like, okay. But then I would be, you know, a little upset that she was in my house.
Can we talk about alligator Alcatraz for a second?
Figured we'd do more on Israel or Iran.
This is amazing to me. Ron DeSantis is giving... like tours of alligator Alcatraz.
Mustard.
And it is just like, we need to, I don't know if there's any place like this, Dawn, in Philadelphia or Pennsylvania, but like we need to replicate this everywhere.
We should build one in Delco.
and we can have the pooper.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
As the guard.
The Delco pooper. I'm going to poop on you.
And anybody who tries to escape, she defecates on.
Ew.
That's a great idea.
I love that.
all right, let's
wait. Do you have a serial pooper in Philadelphia? Why am I not surprised?
Delco, this woman had a. I get we don't have to say alleged, right? Because there's video of it. But she got into a road rage incident with somebody, and she got out of her car, popped a squat right on the person's hood, and deuced.
Ew,
really?
Yeah, deuded.
And number
two.
Yeah. Oh, it was.
Was it big?
It looked like she had a cream of corn, if you know what I mean.
Duty.
These were not pickle.
No.
They were more like cream of corn.
You know what it is?
Yeah.
You know what happened?
Yeah.
She had one of those things that you call a hoagie, which is not real.
Stop.
And I probably didn't agree with her.
These are $6 hoagie days at Wawa Fest right now.
Absolutely.
Wouldn't you like to know?
Yeah. Oh, God. God, he's just so awkward. But we give him love for alligator Alcatraz. Roll this.
Oh, we do.
Governor, I have to talk about what so many people are talking about, which is this alligator Alcatraz. I love the whole concept. It's this new migrant detention center in the Everglades, as long as the Everglades aren't touched, because I love them, too. Now, you gave us some exclusive video of the construction. So how long is it going to take? how many illegals will actually be housed there?
Well, first, the reason why we're doing this is because we want to increase deportations. And what ICE has told us is that even though all my sheriffs and police are working constructively to apprehend illegals, they just need more space because when you bring illegals in, they have to process them. There's a little bit of a process that goes into that. And so this is really a force multiplier where we'll be able to temporarily detain the illegals so that the federal government can deport them to their home countries. Now, we already have this airport and training facility that's been there for many, many years. It will have zero impact on Everglades. I've done more for Everglades restoration than any governor in history. But what it will do is it'll be secure. It will not be interfering with Floridians. It will take pressure off our jails in Florida because we obviously have normal criminals too. And so it's going to be a force multiplier for the feds. They've asked us to do this, and we're stepping up. And I think it will lead to more deportations. I really do.
Well, that's the ultimate goal. All
right, it's really amazing how Laura Ingraham can actually talk without her face moving. You ever notice that? But no, I'm on board with this, man. I love
you can do
this.
That too. By
this
the
would
way.
Be great.
Kathy Hochul can.
Yes, yes.
Because Kathy Hochul is the Botox bucktooth bandit of Buffalo now.
Kathy,
I
Hochul,
love alligator Alcatraz.
Yeah, me too.
Hochul, Adams, and Cuomo have driven New York to a socialist. Think about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's that's amazing. What happened. Yeah. Look, I think it's I can't wait to see the left's reaction when we first when Kilmar Abrego Garcia is inmate number one at Alligator Alcatraz.
Right.
And I'm gonna be like, well, you're the ones who wanted to bring him back, so and, he's back.
And then
right?
he tried to escape and an alligator ate him, and DeSantis says the alligator obliterated him, but then CNN refutes that report.
Right, it's because there's an arm still left with the MS-13 tattoo on it.
That is correct.
No. Florida is where woke goes to die.
Speaking of ICE and illegals, either anybody on this show use the Waze app when they're trying to find their way around?
Yes,
not me. We had this conversation one time on this show. My wife is a big Waze person.
Waze is amazing.
And I use the built-in GPS on my Ridgeline.
Yeah, it's not as good.
It's not.
It's not as good
as Google.
Google? Google Maps.
Yeah. Google Maps.
Google Maps.
Google Maps.
I've used MapQuest.
Is Google Maps MapQuest? What is it, 1999?
MapQuest.
That was
print
remember.
Out the directions.
Yes, yes. Print out the directions.
Remember
and you're
back in the day. Yes.
Driving and you're trying to read them as you're driving.
Right, here's the MapQuest app.
But the difference with Waze.
I'm a Google Map believer.
Yeah. But if you're a Google Map or MapQuest, the difference is that Waze is crowdsourcing, kind of community based.
Yes.
So drivers all around you and ahead of you are letting you know that maybe there's a pothole or maybe there's a police hiding with
Google
a radar speed zone. Oh, they do?
Google
does that all the time. Google comes on the screen and goes, there's a police are ahead. And then there's usually no cop.
I have one request, one favor. Before we get out of here this morning, while Sean is still on, Phil and Jimmy, you have to coordinate together. I need a clip of Eric Adams talking and
about Google.
But I want a split screen with Adam's voice with Sherelle Parker's face. Just so I can get the visual and the audio of Tracy Morgan. Can we have that? Because every time Farrah says Google, I just keep picturing Tracy Morgan.
I don't know if we can do that.
Why can't we?
Nick? I don't know. Anyway, Dawn brings up the crowdsourcing involvement in Waze. By the way, poll question. Good poll question. What's your app of choice? Waze, Google Maps, or built-in GPS, as Nick has?
Yeah.
Put it up there, youtube.com/at1210WPHD. But to getting back to the point of this whole exercise is that now they are, you know, the crowdsourcing, people are now coordinating to submit icy roads conditions on Waze and on Google Maps to warn illegals if ICE is spotted in the area.
Oh, ICE. Okay, I'm gonna say icy roads.
Get it?
And this would be a violation.
You would think so, right? Roll this.
If you discover that snow is melting where you are, and
We're going to get flagged because of the music in the background. I didn't realize there was music in the background, so I can't play that.
So this broad is on TikTok warning everybody and saying this is what you need to do.
Icy roads spotted in this area.
In 90-degree heat.
Yes, yes.
So it's code.
Yeah, it's code.
It's code.
Ice is
Tom Homan should climb through her window right now and detain her with zip ties.
The truth is, the truth is that it's illegal to identify where federal law enforcement is actually a federal crime.
Remember, wasn't there a KYW out in the Bay Area?
Yes. That was right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was one of our sister stations out.
It was an Odyssey station.
It was.
Yep. Wow.
It was an all news station. That we played the report here.
That's right.
That we're giving exact locations where ICE agents were.
Can you imagine that? Media tipping off where law enforcement is to help the bad guys. That's what we've devolved to in the United States of America?
Yep. This I know we can play. This is 8, Phil. A TikToker gleefully directs people to a website that doxes ICE agents. Cut 8. Go.
It's done. They've done it. They've done it.
By the way.
You need to run your little fingers.
Stop it.
I mean,
speaking of the Sean, you were speaking of the whistling with the front teeth.
I mean,
look at the gap in this broad's front teeth.
I mean, you could
fix that stuff.
Kick a field goal.
You could fit the Eagles' offensive line in between that. Holy smokes.
Harrison Butker could get some practice, right?
Wow.
Oh man.
Jeez. Oh.
Through the goalpost.
Holy crow.
Like, you know, look, you know, I'm not gonna win.
She's like one step away from. Honestly, I didn't think I was going to nail that on the first try. I haven't done that in a while.
Very good.
Can you do that? Can you do that again?
Might be able.
All right, let's start it over, Phil. Go.
It's done. They've done it. They've done it. You need to run your little fingers up to whatever search bar we're here. Put icelist.info. Icelist.info.
Sounds like the old creepy neighbor on.
Since masks are illegal
Family Guy.
In this country,
she needs to stop saying words with S's in them.
Ice cubes have been melted and revealed for exactly who they are. Their faces, their info, all of it sitting right up on icelist.info. Y'all thought that you could hide and commit like human trafficking, rape, smexmum assault,
what?
Kidnapping, physical assault, violate the law, and just stay masked up.
Is she missing a chromosome? I'm just asking for friends.
Four of them.
No.
I can tell you what she's missing. Something in the middle of her mouth.
So, ICE.
I think her parents were related.
List.info.
I pulled up the website. It's no longer in operation.
Okay.
Icelist.info denied.
Good.
Boy, I tell you what,
look at
the balls of these people on TikTok,
I know,
with what they've been calling for in the last 6 months.
Well, that's why I'm highlighting it. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Assassinations, kill this, 86 this person, here's a doxing website.
Look, I'm not for censoring. I'm very for, you know, the purest form of free speech. But like, is anybody monitoring what's happening on TikTok? Like, anybody?
Well, there's countless times.
China
where,
is.
There's countless times where libs of TikTok highlights those videos and they tag the FBI.
Yeah,
it's just these are the same people who reported people who were not wearing their masks properly,
100%.
Or they were not on the dot,
yep.
The dot at the grocery store, you know, that's 6 feet apart.
Oh, the self-made up thing.
Oh God, it's unbelievable. Can we do 21 here real fast, Phil? This is an amazing video. An 18-wheeler, a guy was doing, and we see this a lot here in our area now because we had a bad storm here, Sean, last week. So, of course, Pennsylvania, you know, it took out our infrastructure and people were without power for days. So it's a guy up on one of those buckets, you know, those cranes thing, you know, working on the stoplight.
Oh, yeah.
And this 18-wheeler tractor trailer just keeps going. And he's like telling him to stop. And the guy either doesn't see him or can't stop. And watch this video, youtube.com/@1210WPHT, courtesy of ABC News. Roll this. You can see it. Phil, watch this. Look at that. Jesus.
And he's hanging.
Yeah.
Yes.
The harness saved his life.
Yes. Thank God.
It absolutely did.
Thank God he had that harness on.
Watch. You can see him saying stop, 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 stop.
Slow.
Slow.
Hey, hey.
Whoa. Look at that. Oh, my God.
Denham Springs, Louisiana. He walked away with bruises and scrapes.
It's amazing.
Now, here's
That's
the thing.
A miracle.
Oh, my God.
We have a lot of truckers listening. And, you know, there's a debate right now because those truckers know that there's a limit. It's like 13 point whatever feet.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So there's a debate now whether or not the trucker or the utility company, and there are people saying this is an OSHA violation. The utility company is going to get sued because, in fact, that utility company should have they didn't close the lane.
You're supposed
to close the lane.
Right.
And so that,
I see what
they're saying that's not that trucker's fault.
Yeah.
He may not have seen it. And also, he may, you know, the guy on the ground doing this, that's not enough.
Yeah. Agreed.
Where's Senator Kennedy at?
These people are about 10 exits past normal.
God knows they'll shut down a lane on the Schuylkill.
You're 100% right. You are they shut down lanes for nothing.
Yeah.
There's literally cones and there's nobody doing anything.
Nobody there.
Let me ask you this. When we get to the point of the year, especially in Louisiana, where the it's daylight longer and it's warmer out, why are these things being done and ruining people's commutes? Can't you do this in the overnight hours? I don't know the answer to that, but I just infuriating.
They technically do.
They do. Because they're reopening.
Well, the problem with that is it costs more.
Yeah, costs more. Absolutely.
That's the thing. Because a night differential, you got to pay like time and a half if you're working at night.
Yeah.
Off the bat,
they did for the last couple of weeks. They've been doing work 95 and 676 there, and it's actually been closed overnight.
Mm.
It reopens at 5 a.m.
Good.
So like they have been doing work overnight. By the way, coming up in at 9:10, Fight Club Airport Edition. Nick Hale,
Fight Club Airport Edition.
By the way, everybody watching right now on YouTube, please hit the like and subscribe buttons. Do that right now. Fight Club.
Yeah, or else you're going to die.
And also, this weird encounter I have with this guy, I believe his girlfriend, and an underage girl wearing too little clothing.
Oh,
we'll get to all of that on the other side.
Start your day with Kale and Company, weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.